Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob. It's been a little while. Bob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, all things considered. Lots has happened since we spoke last. It felt like it was supposed to be a long midwinter's nap. It didn't turn out that way.
No, everyone's awake.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then someone broke in and took all the stockings.
So, yeah, I'm okay. I'm like everybody else. Honestly, I think 2021's a good time to remember what you have, if you have something. To be thankful for what you got.
And where are you right now? Are you still up cottaging there, Bob?
Yeah, we're up north. Yep. We're lucky, you know, like everybody who has the ability to sort of hunker down. We're really lucky. It's been really good. Actually, I just want to send this out to any teachers who are listening, and also parents who are doing their best to sort of get their kids through this. Like my primary obstacle to ordinary living because of COVID is education, because I work from home. Like I basically write now, so it doesn't change my work life. And I don't really party anyway. I've always been a bit of a homebody, so it's not like my social life has been compromised. But education is a big thing. And to all the teachers who are doing their best, and to all the parents who are helping their kids, and the kids who are doing their best, total shout out. From our perspective, we had a really good week, and I was so impressed with how the teachers did, trying to adjust on the fly to stuff. So, you know, total shout out.
I go the other way, Bob. The teachers are lazy. They get 4 months off. The union is in bed with the government. Everyone get back to work right now. I don't know what the big dealio is.
You know, I'm determined, because there is so much politics, I'm actually determined to do no politics on this show.
All right.
Also because I'm really spending 2021 to talk less and listen more. That's my goal.
Yeah, see, I can't have that goal, Bob. I do two podcasts and a radio show. If I do that, I'd get fired.
That's certainly true. How's it been doing the radio show? I mean, I can't imagine what it's like the day after the Capitol building gets stormed, having to go the next day and talk about, does Nick Robertson benefit from more time in the AHL, or should he be called up?
Listen, I think, you know, the problem is there is no AHL right now, so how is he going to develop as a player? The thing is, the whole storming thing was going on during the show, and so, like, the actual day of, that was the bizarre one, because you're seeing these images, and you're just confused, and you're like, is this really going on, and all those sorts of emotions. But the next day, like, it actually, I didn't find it that difficult, because I didn't really think there was much debate. There was just, what the bleep, and because Trump is going to go soon, then, you know, it felt a little bit different. You know, like, and I had conversations with the former president of the Miami Marlins, who was on the show, and we talked about it. And, you know, my one big question, or my big thing, was I wondered, you know, just for the athletes, they must, especially the NBA, how frustrated they must feel. But also I wondered, like, any gesture they do, I don't know how much good it's going to do, because those idiots, those terrorists who broke into the building at Capitol Hill, they're not going to listen to what Chris Paul or Kyle Lowry have to say.
No, it's true. It's true. And we could crack it open and talk about this for 3 hours, except I think your approach, look, at least your approach is a sensible one, in as much as anything is sensible right now, in that he's going to go. There are bigger problems that persist. Discussing this through the lens of sports is somewhat interesting, but perhaps not super valuable. So, you know, it's funny. I've been really struggling with this, as you know. Like, what is the role of sports in my life when the house is burning down? You know what I mean? And I'm really of two minds, because I do believe the idea that having a place to go find some happy is really important when there's not a lot of happy. And the people that can help bring that to you, like, that's a really important job. Like, it might not be as important as trying to figure out how vaccinations should roll out, but in the entire ecosystem of how we live as a society, like, there's a role for, let me find some happy. People got to be happy.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, like, it's legit.
Well, my question to you is, and not just you, but people listening, when you see it, you know, like, I was obviously stunned by it and sickened and just sad and just, and at some points going, what the fuck is going on there? There's not much I can do, you know. I for a lot of us, our roles are to, you know, don't try to spread COVID, be a good person, pay your taxes, and call out shit when you see it. But beyond that, you know, like, I see a lot of people going, I feel paralyzed. And my question to that is, and actually, I just want to know, what can someone do, like, legit do, beyond trying to make themselves, you know, feel important?
Well, this is an interesting double-edged sword for people who feel that they want to be involved civically, right? Is, you're right, there's very little you can do as an individual, minute to minute, day by day. There's very little. But we are also sort of raised to believe that you should want to help when you see problems. So what do? I think the simple answer is, be good in your community and be good every day.
Yeah.
And double check yourself all the time to ask, am I increasing the good or taking away from it? But that doesn't feel satisfactory. Like, one of the problems that we have, Matt, you know, is the stakes around us are constantly being presented as very high. And so therefore, if we're not behaving in that way, it feels like we're not up to the moment, you know, and the media is largely to blame for this. Not that they're wrong in reporting all this stuff that's happening. It is, but everything is breaking news. Everything is constantly being thrown at you. Like, this is a crisis. We have to deal with it right now, but don't worry about it.
Yeah. You know?
And that disconnect makes people crazy. And so you feel paralyzed because you feel like you should be doing something. And that's a very decent and logical response to being presented with a crisis. But there's very little to do. I kind of wish the messaging would be, like, keep calm and carry on.
But that doesn't sell newspapers or get eyeballs onto the TV screen.
You know, we're not talking politics per se. We are talking about the current moment and even how sports fits into it. But I heard an interesting comment from a reporter responding to the idea that the media has a pro-left bias. I think that's true in some instances. But what this reporter said was, the more important and the more true overall comment about the media is that it has a conflict bias, is that rather than presenting necessarily one side versus the other, the media's job is to present that there are two sides that don't like each other and they're fighting. That's what really gets the eyeballs. Like, some of this tribal stuff is 100,000,000% true. But what is true of all media is that, you know, as they say in wrestling, red makes green, you know, like, if it's not a battle, why am I paying attention? So
yeah,
whether you're right or left, you're always trying to present a fight. And I thought that was a very good way to talk about, you know, and I don't know about you, but my feeling is, if I see a fight, I watch.
By the way, red means green. That is a, God, I love wrestling. What a great line.
Wrestling's the best. Red equals green.
Yeah.
So good. I'm working with a guy who used to be a pro wrestler. We should get him on one day.
Ooh. I missed part of that. Which guy?
It's a fellow producer on the Strombo show, a guy named Blaine. He's from Memphis, Tennessee. And he grew up wrestling on the indie circuit. He even held a belt for some time. He's a really interesting dude. He was even like an executive producer of some football show that Rodney Harrison was hosting.
Really?
So he really knows his sports. Maybe we'll get him to co-host one day and pop in here.
Oh, my God. That'd be great. Also, and especially, I always love the stories of the indie circuit wrestling. I mean, listen, I think that unions can be good and unions could be bad. I feel that wrestling needs a healthy dose of unions, especially in these indie circuits. I imagine none of it was safe.
We could ask them. Yeah. I think your instinct is probably a good one. Hey, let's talk sports, but I kind of, before we get into a deep dive on any of the individual teams or stories, can I throw out just a couple things I'd like to see from sports in 2021?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody complain. You know, I'm prepared to live with any result that any Toronto team comes up with this year, as long as the story doesn't become the team is angry.
Mm.
You know, If the Raptors really, like, you know, if Kyle's getting long in the tooth and Pascal's not who we thought he was, and the loss of our fives, you know, was bigger than we thought it was going to be, like, if all that is true, and they really are just a 7 or 8 team in the East without a real shot, I can live with that. As long as the story doesn't become the team is angry, because there's so much going on right now. And so many people would be grateful to have any job. Just shut up. I do not like, if the Leafs turn out to be fourth in the Canadian Conference and don't play that great, I can live with that. As long as Nylander goes into every corner and the story doesn't become Marner feels social media is unfair.
Yeah, well, I think, Bob, this is called Kyrie Irving-itis is what you are going through right now. Interesting. Because we're all waiting for, and we all knew this was going to happen. The media asked Steve Nash, "Hey, Steve, where's Kyrie?" Steve's like, "I don't know. I just found out he's not playing. I haven't heard from him. And it was for personal reasons." And obviously on the front end, we hope everything's okay. But apparently Kyrie could take the time to text some of the players, but not his coach. And we know Kyrie eventually is going to turn this into just the typical media going after me again. You know, it's basically what you just don't want. You don't want the Kyrie Irving personality in your sports.
And his coach, let's not forget, it's not like he's doesn't like Tom Thibodeau, who's a guy. Coach is Steve Nash, who not only is like one of the world's most easygoing human beings, he was a better point guard than you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's, anyway, no, your bigger point is the white one. And I think for the most part, you're going to get that. I think there's a higher level of just sort of understanding and perspective among most of the players in the sports. Having said that, if the Raptors do finish seventh or eighth and, you know, aren't as great as we thought they were, the hardest part is we've gotten greedy. We've been spoiled. I've been saying this all week. I'm not emotionally prepared to have a bad or even a just half decent Raptors team in my life. I've been fattened up by 50 plus win seasons every year.
So this is the other point I wanted to make, which is Raptors fans and Raptors Twitter, don't overprotect the team. Don't coddle them.
Yeah.
But enjoy what it is. There's some really interesting storylines on this team. The development of Pascal is a confusing one because it's still a great story. If Pascal turns out to be a good NBA player, that's still a good story. Now, he might be overpaid, but he would certainly not be the only, quote unquote, good NBA player that's making a little bit too much money. But just knowing who this guy is and how he got to this point, it's still a great story. And if he doesn't turn out to be the superstar we expected, what a drag it would be if we didn't at least get to enjoy his success. And Chris Boucher is turning out to be a great story. You know, there's a lot on the Raptors to like, even if they don't do great. You know what this kind of reminds me of? Do you remember the movie Blue Chips?
Of course.
And Nick Nolte goes out and he buys Shaq and he buys Penny Hardaway and he buys Matt Novaroff to come to his college, Pacific College. And when we start that movie, they're a 14-10 team that finished in the middle of the conference. And at the end of the movie, he goes, "I loved that team because they did everything right and they got better, but they didn't win." If this team is the 14-10 Pacific team, let's enjoy it. You know, let's enjoy it for what it is and not make the mistake that Nick Nolte made.
First off, I love, clearly NCAA wanted nothing to do with Blue Chips, the Pacific team. Jesus.
I think they were playing on the court from Saved by the Bell.
Oh my God. It's no, like
hang time.
Yes. It's like in Any Given Sunday. Oh, it's the Dragons taking on the Warriors or whatever it was in.
When you're watching draft day and it's the Cleveland Browns, there is nothing in here.
Oh no.
NFL unhappy.
I know, but I don't care. I love draft day. It's a horrible movie, but I love draft day, but, okay, the thing about Siakam is, yes, you're right. No matter what happens, it is a great story. But as a basketball fan, that doesn't help me, you know. And listen, he is still, there's still plenty of time. We've seen him be an all-star. The fear is that Siakam could be the Raptors' version of Vernon Wells in terms of just a guy who started great, got the money, deserved the money, and then, albatross contract. Now, that's the worst-case scenario. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's the fear you have as a Raptors fan.
That's a great analogy. I remember Dan O'Toole on TSN 1050 on one of my first days saying that the happiest day of his life was when Vernon Wells was traded, and he included the birth of his kids in that. It was the funniest line ever. Okay, that's a great analogy, and good for you. I don't, is that an original one, comparing Pascal to Vernon Wells? Because that's really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a listen, Bob, there's a reason why I don't have many guests on the show. It's because I spend time, you know, me blabbing for either 3 or 2 hours.
You are the Rush Limbaugh of sports. You really just don't like guests. You like to get in the way of your mat time.
It's so true. I don't even take calls, but I love the texts and the tweets. I read as many of those as I can.
Mm-hmm, because it's about your reaction.
Oh, that's true as well.
I hosted a show with you for 4 years. I know a little bit about how the cause mind works. What can you tell me that will give me an opportunity to talk?
Again, if I don't do that, I get fired. They have this thing about uncomfortable silence for minutes on end. They're against it.
That's a really good point, too. So with the Raptors, I don't know what to expect, but I don't see it getting way better. There's so many mediocre teams in the NBA. I think you can fatten up your stats and still probably at least be a play-in team. I would be surprised if they missed the playoffs just because they have good veteran players.
They do.
They're not that great, though. They're not that great.
The problem is that they've got a lot of good players. They don't have the great one every now and then. Well, it depends. Like every now and then, Van Vliet has the great game, as he did last night against the Kings. And Lowry still looks like Lowry. The problem is they're not all doing it at the same time. As you kind of mentioned, the center position is a mess. They can't rebound. I'm always conflicted with this team because no matter when things look bad, I'm still going to give them the benefit of the doubt, which is not coddling them. It's just giving them the respect that they have earned.
And I think the way we do that, it's a great point. I think the way we do that is by letting them be mediocre while they retool on the fly. Yes. I've been watching the Memphis Grizzlies. They're one of my league pass type teams. And for whatever reason, they're always on TV here, whether it's Sportsnet or, you know, I don't know what it is. And John Morant's been out. So I'm watching them. And on any given night, Jonas Valanciunas, he has 14 and 11. That's a great number. Or, Dylan Brooks, he looks really good. And you get fun. You get fun out of it. Like the Grizzlies try hard. They're pretty good. And Ja Morant isn't even in. And then you stop and you go, wait a minute. They suck.
Yeah.
This is what happens as a sports fan is you get so sucked into the narratives of the players you know really well that you start to talk about them as though they're good.
But that's important. That's important because, you know, sports on one level is just here to entertain us. And no matter who your team is, you got to find a way to consume it and enjoy that consumption.
Well, I agree with you, except if you're playing the how do they stand against other teams game.
Yeah.
Right. If you say, I think this team should be better because I watch them and this player is pretty good and this player is pretty good. You and I have discussed this many times. Any guy in the NBA can have a good night because they're all super talented. But the ones that make a difference, it's consistency. It's, okay, so Jonas was 16 and 11 last night. Can be 16 and 11 every night? Because if he can, he's a good center.
Yeah.
We see this, I'm going through the Raptors last night against Sacramento. I didn't watch the game, so I'm going through the Raptors Republic grades that they give the next morning.
Oh, it's great. It's a great little handy tool.
It really is, especially if you're busy and you're trying to keep up with the season and you only have a couple minutes to check in. And I see that Terrence Davis is given an A. And I look at the number. The numbers are fine. And, you know, the commentary was, you know, this is what Terrence Davis does great. And if you saw that in isolation, you would go, he must be really good. But he's not, because he doesn't do that every night. He just had a good.
Well, it's I always hate, and this is in all sports, and I get this a lot of the Leafs, when the commentary from the coach or a player is we just need to be more consistent. And I hate the word just because it makes it seem so casual. Yeah, we just need to be more consistent because the thing, it's a very simple consistency equals elite. You know, an elite player is or an elite team. They're the consistent one. It's not about athleticism or, you know, how they jump out, jump off the floor. It's, are they consistent? If you're consistent, you're elite. Simple as that.
There's a few reasons for that. One is, as a player, you are going to face obstacles over the course of your season that only talent can overcome. Like, if you're Terrence Davis, maybe if you have a guy guarding you who's not that good, you're going to put up a couple extra points. But eventually, you're going to have a guy guarding you who is good. Can you solve that problem? The only way to have consistent numbers is to figure out the problems that are thrown in front of you. Part of that is effort, and part of that is talent. You know, the other thing is, do you have the mental wherewithal to be up for the challenge all the time? When we used to do Off the Record, we talked all the time about how the team should not be proud of a great show where everything came together.
Yeah.
They should be more proud of a good show where nothing came together and we problem solved and got to at least a B.
For me, this was for us when we did the show together at TSN 1050, when there was nothing to talk about, and the middle of summer, and at the end of it, you know, you had a giggle and the time flew by quickly. I'm like, oh God, we got through this and it seemed entertaining. And the Jays are on their second game against the Twins. You know, that one always made me more proud than like an A show, but there's 17 playoff games. And what did Kessel do last night? You know, those are the easy ones that you should knock out of the park.
And it goes back to that idea of don't complain. Just make the best of what you got. That's kind of my theme of 2021. And it's not that.
It's a good theme.
It's a difference between complaining and pointing out stuff that's wrong. If there's stuff that's wrong, it's your obligation as a citizen to point it out. But if stuff really isn't that bad and you just wish you had more, shut up.
You know what?
Between the two.
Yes. I'll give sort of an example. I was going to this little Italian bakery, and I get out of the car and I slip, because my foot is right on ice, and I do the full feet in the air, and, you know, I cut my thumb and I cracked my screen on my phone. And someone was like, oh, did you say anything to the people in the store? I'm like, you know, and they're like, oh, you know, that was on them. I'm like, no, you know, I'm not going to sit here and complain to them. It wasn't like a sheet of ice. It was a small piece of ice. It's January in Canada, these things happen, and I'm not going to be the guy trying to complain to them, because really it's not on them. It's just a moment of bad luck. Move on.
You want to park, and the person who's, you think there's a space that's going to open up, and the person, like, so you're stopped on the street and you're waiting for that space to open up while someone leaves and empties it, and it's taken them forever because they're slow and they don't know how to get into the flow of traffic, and it's irritating. Don't honk. They know that they're trying to leave. Your honk is only going to accomplish one thing. Prove that you're angry.
Yeah.
Way to go, champ. Proved you were angry.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Look, I reminded them that they should try and get out of the space by honking.
It's so true. Now, the time when you can honk, when you are in a parking garage and there's five cars in front of you and you're all waiting, and then the car in front of you finally gets to the person to pay for their parking, and you see that then they are going through their wallet. It's like, you had 10 minutes. You get your money out ready to go. And I still don't honk. But it's like, what are you doing? This is the, you know, let's move. Let's get this going. That would be the time to do it.
It's funny. Can I share a quick pet peeve with my wife? You know, she always drives, so I got nothing to say, right? And that's why I never complain about this. But I always go into the always. Mm-hmm. Every time I open the door to the passenger seat, her purse is sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
And then she moves it. It's like, you saw me walking. You knew I was coming.
Yeah.
Did you think I was going to sit on the purse? What am I going to say? Hey, lady. Clear the space so you can drive me somewhere.
I imagine this is a problem that you are vocalizing more with me than you do with Sandra.
I've literally never brought it to light before. And I probably will never mention it again. That's probably a good example of 2021. Be like Bob and Sandra's purse.
Exactly. I love it. I appreciate
that you're getting your ass hauled somewhere.
Hey, I got a sportsy question for you.
Great.
Yeah. But before, just real quick, our sponsor is Jeff Pollock. Set up my will and all that. If you need a lawyer who's been doing it for a long time, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com. The number 416-777-0088. Yeah, it's a small law firm, been doing it for a long time, and will help you with any of your legal issues. So yesterday was the Sacramento Kings game. Yes. I was not in a 2-hour show where there's tons of football. I wasn't going to break down the game on my show. I don't usually do that anyway. But Marvin Bagley, who has started, I think, 18, 19 games and now his third year, was drafted over Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything worse as a sports fan than the high-end level of draft regret? Because you got to live with that every day. Oh, look what Luka did in the bubble against the Clippers. Oh, there's Marvin Bagley, whose dad is going to Twitter saying, trade my son. Like, I think it's the worst thing as a sports fan. Maybe even worse than having a bad owner is having that level of draft regret.
Okay, so let's think about this. What else could compare?
I have one that is maybe worse.
The big free agent signing that doesn't go anywhere.
My owner's Dan Snyder.
That's the one thing?
Yeah, that's the only one I could come up with that's worse than, wait, we passed on Luka? My owner's Dan.
It's hard to believe in a world of NFL owners, he somehow distinguished himself as the worst. This is some stiff competition. Oh. The Marvin Bagley thing's interesting, too, in that sometimes players really lay an egg and somehow they manage to skate because there's a more high profile example down the road that people have chosen to focus on. Like poor Trae Young, because he was traded theoretically for Luka Doncic. People always point out that he'll never be Luka, but he's one of the three or four most explosive and interesting offensive talents in the whole game. He's not much defensively, but he's kind of a phenom offensively. He's sort of amazing. And somehow he gets more anger from your average NBA fan than Marvin Bagley does, who was drafted ahead of both of them and stinks.
I think it's because Bagley's in Sacramento. We don't pay attention. He's had injuries. He's, you know, when he does play, it's just he skates because in a way he's invisible. And you're right, but ask any Sacramento fan, would they rather have Trae Young or Bagley? They take Trae Young in a second. It's one of the greatest things about Hakeem Olajuwon, not destroying David Robinson, not the two titles. It's that no one gets upset at Houston for not drafting Jordan because they got Hakeem.
That's a great point. When you miss out on the generational player, but your player is still good enough, and in theory, Hakeem is generational. He's one of the 50 greatest who ever lived, so it's hard to complain about that. They won two titles. He ain't Jordan, but he ain't bad. But you're right. It's a great point. He was so great that you didn't even get mad that you passed on Jordan.
Yeah.
You know what? That would be a good... I would need to sit there and go through some old drafts, but who are the players that you don't mind passing on greatness for?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's a good one.
First off, reviewing old drafts, that is catnip for me. You know, next to early to mid-90s NFL stuff, nothing is better than that.
You know, I will say, Matt, and this is just sad, I spent so much time trying to figure out who's going to go first in 2022 in the NBA. I've never seen a minute of any of these kids playing. I'll never see a minute of them playing. No. Some of them are juniors right now. But I just want to know, in the double draft, who do we have a shot at? Who's good? There's this tall kid. He's 7'1", and he's splitting. You know, this one's so interesting. 7'1", with giant wingspan, can hit threes like nobody's business. He could be Kristaps Porzingis. It could be Manu Bol. But whenever they talk about how it needs to add muscle on frame, oh,
it's so true. It's the best because we don't actually need to know anything and we have opinions. It's kind of like sports radio.
You know what? I keep saying to myself, it's so funny. I've never seen this kid play, Matt. Never. And I keep thinking, oh God, I hope the Raptors don't get him.
I remember when the Giants drafted Usiu Meniera. I was so angry. Mostly because I was like, wait a minute, I'm going to have to learn how to say that name. And then I hadn't heard of him. I hadn't seen him. I'm like, this guy's a bum. I wanted another guy who I'd never seen play before, but it was like a left tackle from like Alabama. I'm like, I want that guy. I had no knowledge of either, but I still had a lot of emotion.
I got two words for you. Alex Radojevic.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Raptors drafted him 12th overall 1 year? Yep. Didn't you think to yourself, oh, 7 foot European, he'll never play.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't. What's your biggest red flag in the NBA in the draft report? Is it a super athlete needs to work on jump shot?
It's almost always that. Yeah. It's always, you know, just needs a jump shot. It's like, what? What do you mean you don't have one of those now?
Just needs a jump shot.
Yeah.
It's like quarterback just needs to learn to throw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, of course, now Josh Allen is proving that accuracy issues can actually be fixed. And now we go into the smooth transition into the number one biggest story that's not COVID related in the NFL is Josh Allen has gone from mistake prone guy that I don't know if I can trust to a top three finalist for the MVP.
It's an amazing transformation, and it speaks to coaching. It speaks to roster development, and it also goes to show nobody knows nothing.
Oh, yeah. Everyone hated Josh Allen. Like, I did so much research on this coming into the draft. Even the smart people like Pro Football Focus and all of them and Football Outsiders, they were ripping him. They were laughing at him. Jalen Ramsey called him a bum in a GQ article and after he was drafted. Like, everyone was dunking on him. And part of it, rightfully so, it is incredible to see the guy that against the Texans last year in the playoffs, you know, interceptions, sacks, fumbles, and took an 18-yard sack to the guy now who's kind of unstoppable.
How many times have you seen this, Matt? He has great size, an NFL body, and a big arm, needs to think the game better. How often does that turn out?
Rare.
Because we know the most important thing you can have as an NFL quarterback, you know, apart from a repeatable throwing motion, is probably your brain.
Yeah. And you know, but the funny thing is, continue.
No, I was just going to say, he seemed to be the scarecrow. It didn't seem he had a brain.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Like, I went back and actually looked at my notes from last year's playoff loss to Houston. And then I compared that to what we've seen this year. I don't have many examples of a guy in 1 year being able to improve this much. And there was an interesting article in ESPN about it saying one of the reasons his completion percentage was low was his team was always down. And why throw a 5-yard pass? And all his great talent left his final year and had dealt with a shoulder injury, you know. And it's incredible how he's been able to develop his mechanics and just really work on it. Then there's coaching consistency, and Stephon Diggs is a massive part.
That's a huge part.
It's a huge part, but it's all these things coming together, and it's incredible. Like, all year, it's like we're looking at a different person.
You hope that he keeps going, because the NFL is just so – like, we were saying the exact same thing, not for the same reasons, but the "I never saw this coming" about Lamar Jackson – it feels like every year you can say, "I never saw this coming," and then just fill in the blank. And 2 years later, you're not talking about that guy anymore.
Yep.
Sometimes it's connected to gimmicks, and maybe that's the Lamar Jackson thing, is people just figure out, okay, like, this is how we're going to stop you. You have a unique talent, so you can win for a while, but the coaches are so smart, they figure out how to stop you. In the end, there's one thing that an NFL coach just can't beat. Strong arm knows how to read defenses.
Yep, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, there's no scheme for him. You know why? Strong arm, knows how to read a defense.
Yep. Patrick Mahomes, same thing. Like, there's these guys out there. And by the way, to your point about guys we thought were great, and then where are they now? Jared Goff, Carson Wentz are the two examples. Yes. And we're hoping that Lamar Jackson can, and we'll see. I mean, he's got more pressure on him than almost anyone else this weekend. You know, can he and the coaching staff continue to develop in where he doesn't have to rush for 1,000 yards, where he can become better at just being a consistent, accurate passer.
And it's so weird. Like, this year is weird in the sense that some of the quarterbacks we look at, it's like, why are we still talking about them? And yet we are. Like Ryan Tannehill. Why are we still talking about him? And yet we are.
He's been great.
He's been really, really good. Like, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but he's clearly in the upper echelon of quarterbacks. And who the hell was he going to be? You know, it's, there's something, there's just something to be said for smart. And there's also something to be said for leadership, which is, you've made this point a million times. It is so interesting that for all the people who decry character and intangibles in every other sport, no one ever says intangibles don't count when it comes to NFL quarterback.
Oh yeah. Oh no, 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 no. Yeah. It's it's so important. It's just this weird secret sauce that you just can't figure out, but you know it when you see it.
In the business world, it's been said many times that the CEO has to be smart, but more important, they have to be someone you would follow.
Yes.
You can have all the advisors in the world. Often the advisors are smarter than the CEO themselves, but somebody has to be able to wear the plan and execute it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Josh Allen, to his credit, seems to have been growing into that guy. Every single year, no matter who the player is, when they have a good year, everyone on the team says, this guy should be the MVP. That is just a, that just happens always. It doesn't matter who it is, what team it is, that's the dialogue. But when you see the Buffalo Bills rally around Josh Allen, don't you get the feeling they mean it?
Yes, 100%. I remember seeing interviews where Stephon Diggs and Allen are fighting about who's going to praise the other one more. And it doesn't feel like a work. It just feels like two guys with a lot of respect for each other.
The NFL is always better when there are great quarterbacks in it.
Yep.
Right. And in order for the league to continue, that stock, that pond has to get restocked. And you kiss a lot of frogs and they don't turn into princes. I'm still sad about Derek Carr. Had a thought that he might turn into a really, really good NFL quarterback. And the league's always better when the Raiders are good.
Yep.
He had a moment. There it was. Marcus Mariota. I thought, oh, this looks interesting. Nope. Mm-hmm. You made the point about Wentz. Wentz, maybe example number one, MVP.
Oh, yeah. He's the anti-Josh Allen. He's the exact opposite. We're like, what happened to this guy in a negative way?
You know, I don't, predictions are useless. I just know that this weekend's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I've already pretty much mapped out serious couch time. This is the weekend in a lot of ways. It's either this one or next one. This one might have a lot of bad games in it, so that might kind of take away some of the joy, but there's so much football. It's hard not to love it. It's kind of an orgy.
It is. It's a total orgy. We've never had this much football before. Three games today, three games on Sunday. By the way, we have to wrap this up soon because Amy is going to be doing this online workout at 10 a.m. Right now it's 9:48. I wanted to tell you, I bought 3 pounds of wings from the St. Lawrence market. I bought a pound of shrimp. I'm going to do up a big nacho. This is for the next 2 days. And I have found a couple really good German Rieslings with low alcohol. So it allowed me to drink throughout without getting drunk. I'm set, baby. Like every other sports fan, I got wings, shrimp, and the wines from the Moselle region. Yeah.
You know, I'll post on Instagram what my freezer looks like right now, but it's wings and shrimp. And I'm going to add this, and this isn't to top you. I'm not trying to do one betterism. This is my version.
Do it.
We're taping this. It's 9:48 a.m. right now. I've already had 12 wings today.
You win.
I don't know if I win. It's just a different approach.
I got to go out and go for a run. I got to try to get as much exercise as I can between now and one, because then the 11 hours afterwards is basically just where my caloric intake outmatches my steps.
You know, I the dog is saving my life. I got to keep walking the dog. It's the only way I can work off all the potato chips.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
You're in cottage country. Everyone eats more in cottage country.
Yeah, I know. It's just natural. You see snow, you eat. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Why don't we meet together next week, like sometime midweek, and do a deep dive on the Leafs. We'll do a Leafs only pod.
Sure. We'll do love it. We'll do that. We'll sprinkle in a tiny bit of NFL, but then a whole, and then the rest on the Leafs.
Well, why don't we do two next week? Why don't we do a normal one and then actually do a season preview for the Leafs?
Good for me. I'm sitting around. I ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Okay, bud. Good to
catch up. All right, Bob. Great to talk to you. Yeah, great to talk to you. Happy New Year. All the best to you and the fam. Enjoy the weekend and talk soon.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.